This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Oh, good Thursday morning to you. Glad you could be with us. It is Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio, loaded this morning. Four NBA games last night. We'll get to those, including two teams that are moving on and advancing to round number two, where, by the way, they'll be facing off against each other. And, of course, we've got the NFL draft tonight. Round one, the primetime event, the red carpet show, Kansas City, Missouri, and the Houston Texans with the two pick, we talked about this yesterday, are where everybody is looking to where the draft will really start. Carolina will have the number one pick. Everyone now is sort of slowed down a little bit. It is likely that they will take Bryce Young at quarterback. You know, you get this thing where at the beginning of a draft, you get a bunch of people saying the number one pick is going to be this guy, whoever that guy is and whatever position he plays. And then after a while, you need to change the talking point. I mean, we've got a lot of time between when the NFL season ends and we look forward to the draft and the combine and pro days and all of that. And so we have an idea that, all right, this individual is going number one. And unless it's a bona fide megastar, we start then analyzing the team a little differently. Well, maybe they'll go with this guy at this position. Maybe they'll go with this guy instead. Maybe they like this guy better. It's the natural part of the game of covering the NFL draft. Throw out red meat all the time to the fan base for them to digest. And then we get closer to the draft, and we get on draft day, everybody sort of calms down and goes back to the original thought. Yes, Will Levis's name was rising. Yes, Anthony Richardson has got tremendous upside. C.J. Stroud was a guy that was number one on the board, then fell, now back up, now back down. But in the end, I think it's going to be Bryce Young that gets taken. But the draft will start tonight with the Houston Texans. Will they take a quarterback at two? And if they do, what does that mean? And if they don't, what does that mean for everybody else behind them? Will the Tennessee Titans move up in the draft to get their quarterback? Who else might be playing a game to try to get that three pick away from the Arizona Cardinals? We got all of that coming up. But last night was a night in the NBA playoffs that I think the word unbelievable is used too much in sports. I think it's crazy. I think it's a crutch. I think announcers use it too much. When a player makes a great play or there's a situation, we go, unbelievable. Unbelievable is an elephant walking a tightrope. That's unbelievable, right? Or a zebra doing algebra. That's unbelievable. We've seen so many things in sports that everything is believable. But there doesn't mean that we can't have moments in sports that perplex us to a point where we still don't know exactly how it happened. Where we watch a play over and over again to try to figure out what exactly did we see. So I'm not going to use the word unbelievable for Jimmy Butler's shot at the end of regulation in that game against Milwaukee. But I certainly don't understand how it happened. I have absolutely no idea how in the world you could let that happen if you're the Milwaukee Bucks. How do you let Jimmy Butler get that pass out who had to throw it above Giannis to get the ball in play, and somehow Jimmy Butler is able to get it, fall down, and throw it up and score. And Miami went on to beat Milwaukee last night and advanced to round two. And they did it in five games. They did it in five games against a team that was not only the number one seed in the East, but they were projected to be an NBA Finals champion the way they were playing and the way they're put together. We always think that teams in these situations, there must have been something really wrong. Like, we'll look back on this and wonder how an 8-seed Miami Heat team beat Milwaukee. And people will immediately point to the Giannis injury. And they'll say, well, look at that. Well, yeah, I mean, he missed most of game one and all of game two and all of game three. And, you know, I didn't watch it way back then, but it looked like he wasn't, you know, didn't play well. He missed a ton of free throws last night. A ton of free throws. It was the story of the game. But it's more than that. It is the play of Jimmy Butler. It's more than just Giannis not being either on the floor or when he's on the floor, not 100%. To do that is to put Jimmy Butler's performance in this series, how he carried this Heat team, you cannot discount this at all if you're just looking at a main reason why a number one seed goes down. Sometimes it's the team that won that powers its way through. Yes, it is easy to look at the top seed and find the flaws in the top seed rather than the stellar performances of the eight seed. But Jimmy Butler, a team without Tyler Hero, I can't stress this enough, how a devastating injury that was to Miami. He's a starter. He's a three-point shooter. He's a main a factor in any success that they have, and he was gone. Giannis's back injury after game one, well, once we learned that the x-rays were clear and he didn't have anything that was going to be season-ending, right, we figure, okay, at some point he's coming back in this series. But after watching game two, it was sort of clear, like, they can win without him. They've got enough firepower to win without him. But Tyler Hero was not coming back to the Miami Heat. Not at all. And yet Jimmy Butler powered his team all the way through to win. And here's the other key component. Players play, players win games. This is not to undermine coaching. But Mike Budenholzer was completely outcoached in this series. Completely outcoached by Eric Spoelstra, who is a brilliant strategist. Eric Spoelstra, who one time when he was younger was just logging game film for the Miami Heat, and became their head coach during the Big Three. And everyone went, well, Eric Spoelstra, he's the lucky guy in the room, right? He's the guy that becomes the head coach of this three-man show in Miami that's going to rule basketball, right? The multi-champion Miami Heat. Now, they're going 6-7 championships. Eric Spoelstra's going to ride it to the finish line. You don't even need to coach. You just let LeBron draw it up. That was Eric Spoelstra back in the time when they got LeBron James and Chris Bosh to go down to South Florida to join Dwayne Wade. That was the analysis of a guy we didn't know. Nobody knew who Eric Spoelstra was. Outside of a few people in South Florida who covered the team, nobody nationally had any idea who Eric Spoelstra was. And he's still there. He got Miami in the bubble to the finals, and now he's got this on his resume too. A first-round upset of the Milwaukee Bucks. And I'm not the only one that thought the Eastern Conference was so top-heavy it was going to topple. I mean, just the incredible talent that is on Milwaukee and Boston and Philadelphia outweighed anything anybody underneath them could do. Now, I'm not surprised that the Knicks won their series against Cleveland. That looked like an even series on the board. The Knicks had taken 3 of 4 from Cleveland during the regular season, make that of which you may. But that's not a surprise. A 4-5 matchup is not an upset by any means. This is not an upset of Cleveland. Cleveland had home court advantage, but that was about it. These teams are about the same. But anything that happens underneath, it's not just an 8 beating a 1. Or in Atlanta's case, who forcing a Game 7. I don't know where that series is going. But Atlanta, if they can get this to Game 7 in Boston, would surprise me too. It's about who you are and what you're doing and who you're beating. Let's go back to the Miami Heat for a second. 2 weeks ago, Miami was struggling against Atlanta in a play-in game. And losing that play-in game, and you know what that meant? They had to play another play-in game. And they win that one. And, all right, let's get this out of the way. Now we get to become the sacrificial lambs to the Milwaukee Bucks. They lose Tyler Hero in game one, and now in 5 games, as easily as you can this is a gentleman sweep of an 8-1? I mean, come on. That's incredible. Absolutely correct. To win the last 3 games of this series after Milwaukee showed everything that they could do without Giannis in game two. How does Mike Budenholzer screw that up? No timeouts, bad substitutions. That final play should have never occurred. That Butler play should have never happened. How in God's name does Jimmy Butler get that? He goes, they went guards, we went guards. How about you go big man? There's 2 seconds on the clock. What are you talking about? Why are you putting in people that don't? All you have to do is swat the ball away. I was telling Ron before the show. To me, it's like the Christian Laettner play from 30 years ago. All Kentucky has to do is get a hand on the ball somehow. They just have to disrupt it, make it difficult to catch, making it just cause the ball to rotate in another direction. They're throwing an inbound pass, and they've got small guys on the court, so Jimmy Butler has a good chance of getting it. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. Look, I'm going to get to Giannis's comments at the end of the games at another point in the show where he said it was not a failure, and that's, you know, Michael Jordan won 6 titles in 15 years. Were those titled failures? Sometimes you have good days and sometimes you have bad days. But the reality of it is, somebody goes down for stuff like this. When you are a one seed and you lose in 5 games to an eight that had to go through 2 play-in games, and you lose the final 3 games of this series, somebody goes down for this. Mike Budenholzer could go down for this, because if you are the Bucks and you've got Giannis and you've got Bobby Portis and you've got Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, and you've got Pat Connaughton, you got all these guys. You got to win titles. You can't be exiting out of the playoffs in round one. And there are plenty of smart basketball coaches that would have taken this team a lot farther than Budenholzer. Do you fire a head coach who won you a championship? Yes. If you lose to an 8 seed in 5 games in the opening round, yes, you do. All right, we'll get more, because the Lakers lost last night and Memphis is feeling like they've got some new breath. The Knicks have advanced and Golden State looks like it's in control. But we've also got the first round tonight of the NFL draft. We'll continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
You can shake an apple off an apple tree.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, NFL draft tonight. It's also a throwback Thursday. We don't ever want to forget that. Yes, it's round one of the draft, but it's also, again, a throwback Thursday where we go back in time on something. We're doing 1960. On this date, the Minneapolis Lakers announced they would relocate to Los Angeles, and they became a pretty successful basketball team.
Maybe send them back.
It was not a very good game last night for LeBron James, who basically said it was beep. Nope, that was not a good game.
Well, and you know, I mean, he has himself to blame.
Yeah, well.
I mean, drive the ball.
12 of 17 shots he missed last night and had 5 turnovers.
Yeah, most of those were all the threes he was shooting up.
Exactly.
Brick.
Look, they're still up 3-2, and Memphis has got some life. They still got to win the game in Los Angeles to get the series back to Memphis. But, you know.
It wasn't pretty.
Okay, look, Anthony Davis had 31 points last night, right? But you know what? When he's off the court, Memphis scores.
Yep.
When he doesn't play, Memphis finds points. When he does play, he scores 31. But nevertheless, Memphis is now staying alive.
And
in
the fear
what
is,
a series, though. They're going back and forth to L.A. and Memphis.
Old man AD needs his rest.
That's right.
And so you can't play him as many minutes as you would like. I mean, the amount of minutes he played last night might hurt him moving forward.
Yeah, I know.
Pick up a sprained pinky or something.
It's still a series where I continually find that I don't know if Memphis is going to win the final 3 games of this series. You can get some new life at home.
Mm-hmm.
But it would have been nice for the Lakers to have wrapped that thing up. They need rest.
Yes, they do.
And they don't need to be bogged down in a series that's going to go into this weekend. Because Golden State and Sacramento, the Warriors might wrap that bad boy up pretty quickly now that they've realized, oh, we can win away from home. Look at this, kids. And now they go back to the chase. Do you think Sacramento, as much as I love them, the young, spunky, light-the-beam Sacramento Kings, you think they're going to go to Sacramento and stay alive in a series at the Chase Center against the defending champions? I really don't think so. But then again, I thought the Tyler Hero injury would kill Miami in a series against the Bucks.
Almost guaranteed that.
I mean, my goodness. But all over the map of this playoff series. And Atlanta, They got a game tonight at home to extend it to a game seven. If you're Trey Young and the Hawks, if you're Quinn Snyder and the Hawks, you go, listen, guys, everything's on the table. With backs against the wall, save nothing. If we can get to Boston, yeah, we might get blown out by 40 when we get up there. Who cares? We get to Boston, anything can happen. Jason Tatum could slip on a water stain. Anything could occur. You have no idea. It is wide open. Just get us to Boston this weekend. That's tonight. A game probably nobody will be watching outside Celtics fans and Hawks fans because the NFL draft is tonight. The big primetime show.
That's true. I was trying to figure out a way
Iowa was going to be like, I'd rather watch an NBA series
than the NFL draft. Outside of Boston, because, you know, even in Boston, they know that New England is going to New England, so they don't even care.
Right.
I mean, all the speculation, and, you know, it'll be a Division III center. Yeah, Bill Belichick will select. That's true.
They have the 14th pick in the draft.
Yeah.
The Patriots. So, by the way, 31 picks tonight because Miami had to forfeit their first round pick. I was going to mention that yesterday. That because of the Tom Brady tampering scandal, the Miami Dolphins had to sacrifice their first round pick. So there's only 31 selections that are going to be tonight.
So if you're bringing that up, because you know that's Philip from Oklahoma's team.
Right, sure.
Should I bring up the fact that the Cubs catcher tackled the pitcher during a perfect game again? Or is that too soon?
No, it's too much.
It's too much? Too much to pile on?
Lay off. Back off a bit. Oh, goodness. So everybody's got their final mock drafts. This is what I love about mock drafts, right? Everyone's got their final mock drafts. They do them all the time, and then they got different versions of them. And then there's the one moment where the draft guru, whoever it is, Mel Kiper, Todd McShay, who are a couple other, Rob Rang, I don't know, there's a bunch of them, Dane Bugler, they all go, this is it, the final one. But Dane Bugler at The Athletic had a really good point. He goes, I would love to go 0 for 32, in this case 0 for 31, mm-hmm. whenever I do a final mock draft. Because if that means I've got chaos. That means I've got total chaos.
Yeah, and then you got a really entertaining show.
Right. He goes, that's more important to me than the predictability of what I'm trying to do in a mock draft. Because some of these guys do project what trades they may be hearing, hearing rumbles. You know, like somebody might be interested in trading. So they go, all right, this team is interested in moving up. And, you know, they all got their little inside sources. Yeah, we're looking to move up. We're looking to stay put, whatever. But most of them go, here's the way it plays out. I'm not going to put any trades in there because I could shake up a lot of things. I'm just going to tell you, if it goes this way, this is where I think this is going. But Tennessee moving up to 3 to take that pick from Arizona seems to be getting some momentum. Not only from, I forget which one had it in their mock draft. I want to say Todd McShay, but don't hold me to that. But here in Nashville, where I live, it's been a buzz. And I don't know if it's just a talking point that people just want to go to. Like, the Titans could move up in the draft. Why not? Yeah, why not? Let's just talk about that. Or if there's some real something behind it. Who knows? Rand Carthon is the new general manager. He might be making a new splash to try to get a quarterback. Because Malik Willis is the quarterback outside of Ryan Tannehill, and I don't think they're happy with either one of them. So we'll see. But if that happens, it shakes up a lot of things. It could shake up a lot of things because it could mean three quarterbacks off the board in the first three picks of the draft. But it all stems from what Houston is going to do. Houston's the fun key to all this. My God, if they had just gotten the number one pick, imagine if the Texans had got the number one pick, right? If they had just lost that final game. As we heard yesterday from Joel Blank, teams can do this. Players won't tank, but coaches can tank you.
Yeah.
Right? You know, teams can make you inactive. Teams can say, I'm sorry. We're putting the D team out there, guys.
And see, that brings up another an article that I was reading in Yahoo Sports that there's the curse of the number two.
Right. Oh, yes.
And the Texans, I mean, it's like a foregone conclusion that this pick is going to be cursed for them because they had the number one seed wrapped up.
Yep.
All good to go. Just don't win.
And you know what's funny about that? What's funny about that is the number one pick
went to a team that didn't even want it.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
A team that was like, okay, well, start ringing the phones, people, because we don't need it. We've already got our quarterback. Some of you don't have your quarterback, so let us know what you want for it. And Carolina was like, us. We'll take it. Here you go. Here's DJ Moore and a whole bunch of picks. Great, thanks. Appreciate it. And Houston is like, we desperately needed it, and now we're picking
second.
It could
have been ours, and we just, you know, decided to win that final game.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, my secret hope is Bryce Young is available at number three.
Bryce Young is available at number
yes.
three? All right, so that means you're thinking that, you know, Will Levis goes number one or C.J. Stroud goes number one.
And Texans go defense.
Defense.
Because
That's not a bold. That's not a off the charts
but my
wish.
My reasoning behind this is that I want to see the chaos and the fervor for the number three pick. I want to see Arizona's war room. And the phone's ringing off the hook like it's a telethon.
I think the Titans have a plant in the Arizona war room. I think the Titans have like an intern there that's like, who are you? Oh, I'm Joe. I'm an intern. You are? Oh, I'll check with Sally to make sure. Yeah, just stay away from us. We're making phone calls. And then as soon as that happens, he takes off and goes, I'm actually with the Titans. Here's everything that you want for that pick. The Titans would do anything to get that three pick if Bryce Young
yeah.
was available. Anything.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, and those phones will ring like a telethon. You know it.
Yeah, no doubt.
They're going to have
no
to pull doubt. In some extra people and just, you know, it's like, hi, Arizona Cardinals war room, please hold. Hi, Arizona Cardinals war room, please hold.
I'm curious to see where Jalen Carter goes. Jalen Carter.
Yeah.
Here's a couple of things. I was
first round still, though, right?
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. But here's what I'm thinking. So there was concern about Jalen Carter before the accident about character, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know how much people read into that or not. Sometimes it's a big hill. Sometimes it's nothing. But they talked about that. Then he gets into this. He's involved in this sort of late night racing that killed a teammate and a football staffer. He pleads. He's got community service and he's dealing with the ramifications of that. It's not going to affect his playing career, but he's dealing with the ramifications of that. And then he was completely unprepared for his pro day. He put on 9 pounds, looked a little sluggish. He's still going to go high, but I wonder how far down he falls. Because he could have been in the conversation with one of the top defensive players.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
1960, the Minneapolis Lakers went to Los Angeles. And the rest is history. Yeah! And became the Lakers. And we got, was it Chubby Checker? That's Domino. Who's this?
Chubby Checker.
I don't know my 60s as well as I should.
So if you're listening right now and you got a swivel chair, you know what you're doing.
There you go. Draft tonight, NBA playoffs, 4 games. So I didn't put all of my TVs in a room yesterday. I'm lazy.
For shame.
All right, I'm lazy. I know people like to brag about this on social media, especially during football season. College football season, too, you know, the NFL too, but mostly college. You're like, look at all the TVs I rigged up in our entertainment room. I'm too lazy to go grab the TVs in my house. And my wife would be upset if, like, I went and unhooked the TV in our living room from the wall and brought it upstairs. If I did that, she would go, wait a minute, hold on. So for that, you're willing to move furniture? Yes, but I don't do it because I'm lazy. I don't like moving anything. The other thing I thought about redoing my studio. And I went, nah, it's too much. I got to move a bookcase. Who wants to do that? So I didn't do that last time, but I did bounce around enough. Flying all over the place. I even watched Bruins Panthers last night, the NHL. I watched a little bit of that, but I was mostly hooked on basketball. I couldn't believe Milwaukee blew a 17-point lead in the fourth quarter. But at the same time, I can. So Giannis at the end of the game last night, he was asked whether or not the game was the season was a failure. And he had this pretty poetic answer that was, you know, no, it's not, because sports, you have good days and you have bad days. There's no failure in sports. You know, he brought up Michael Jordan winning 6 titles, but not winning it in 9 other seasons that he was in the NBA. He said, with those failures, I'd ask Michael Jordan, do you think those were failures? I bet he would say yes. I bet he would say, yeah. There are certain athletes where winning is everything and everything else is nothing. It doesn't matter whether we're competing for a championship and losing, or whether we're out in the first round of the playoffs, or whether we don't make the playoffs. Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong. There are circumstances that you do understand when you're on a team. If you're a veteran player and you land on a team of young talent, like if you were a veteran guy and you landed with the Houston Rockets last year, you wouldn't say that the season was a failure, because you know the circumstance, right? Young talent, we're trying to get some cap space, we don't have stars, we're trying to go through the process of getting better again. But if you're the number one seed in the Eastern Conference and you can't get out of the first round of the playoffs, that's a failure. Now, you can make it pretty by saying, hey, look, Jimmy Butler plays over there and Eric Spoelstra is their head coach, and that's a very good basketball team. Bam Adebayo is over there, right? You can point that out, sure. But when you're the number one seed, you've got to close that deal. And it shouldn't be looked at by anybody on the Milwaukee Bucks as some sort of, well, you never know in this crazy NBA. You were the better team, you had home court advantage, and you couldn't get out of the first round of the NBA playoffs. What else are we supposed to label it as? Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not one of these social media influencers that get on and say, if you're not hustling, I'm not that guy. I think you can be a doctor if you finish last at med school. You can be a lawyer if you graduate last in law school. And in the end, no one's keeping score. You don't have to be the number one sales guy at your company to make a decent living. You don't have to have the number one fast food business to have a good business. There's room in the world for a number of other burger chains than McDonald's. There's more than enough room for different steakhouses and Italian restaurants and department stores. You don't have to be number one. We don't live in a world where it's number one and everybody else has to close their doors. You can be the fifth best, you know, Italian restaurant chain and still do pretty well. You don't even have to be the number one theme park in Orlando to be successful. So we don't live in a world where everything is won or bust. And in sports, we're not necessarily won or bust. I have had, as a fan of the Pittsburgh Steelers, I've had many seasons that were very satisfying to me where the Steelers didn't win the Super Bowl because they achieved more than what I could have asked for. I think all of us, and tonight's a perfect example of this, I think we all have expectations for our team. And I used to ask this question at the beginning of every football season. What's your reasonable expectation for what your team is going to do this year? And I would get all sorts of responses from people. I would be happy with 8 wins. I'd be happy with 10 wins. It's Super Bowl or nothing. Everybody has a good analysis of what their team should do, right? If you're a fan of the Cleveland Browns, you may think that Super Bowl or nothing, but deep down you know it's not. You know, like, hey, let's get to the playoffs. Let's see if we can get a win or two in the playoffs. Let's build on Deshaun Watson's first full season, or things like that, right? So in a way, yes, what Giannis said after the game is true in a lot of areas of life. And even in sports, it's a lot of areas. But he didn't lose to the 2 seed in the conference finals. He didn't lose to the top seed in the West in the NBA finals. They lost in 5 games to an 8 seed. And that's not disrespecting Jimmy Butler in the Heat, but that should not have happened at all. But it did, because Milwaukee made mistakes and bad decisions. And yes, Giannis wasn't 100%, and he's a main reason that they win basketball games. I was telling you this before. 19 games this season, Giannis didn't play. They went 11-8 when he was out of the lineup. 11 wins, but most of them were against the bottom-feeding teams in the NBA. Because a lot of them were, you know what? Take tonight off against San Antonio. I think we'll be okay. But that's inexcusable. And I bring it up not to say, again, it's not to look at Miami in a lens of how in the world did they do this. Jimmy Butler is pouring in points. He had 42 last night, had 56 the night before. He's carrying this basketball team. And as I mentioned earlier, they are coached by a brilliant strategist in Eric Spoelstra. But somebody has to pay for this. Because when you have acquired that level of talent, it is championship or nothing in Milwaukee. There's no other way to point. There's no other feel-good sentence that you can bring other than you're built to win a title and exiting out of round one is inexcusable. If you can't hold the Milwaukee Bucks to that standard, then who would ever get that standard? That is the real world. The real world is, in that situation, that is a failure. That is a failure. Now, I will tell you, the guy that asked the question, that the question is hard for an athlete to answer. Now, Giannis could have just said, yeah, it's a failure because we have high expectations for ourselves and we didn't meet them. Okay. But I think Giannis didn't want to, because he's pretty cognizant of this kind of stuff. I don't think Giannis wanted to disrespect Miami. I don't think he wanted to disrespect Jimmy Butler. I don't think he wanted to appear as if our expectations this whole time was that we would be sitting here after five games with a win and looking forward to playing the Knicks in the next round. I think he was very aware of what that would look like. So I think in his world, it was the right answer for him to make, but it's not the true answer. The true answer is the organization is going to see it as a failure. And it's going to be interesting, because if they do fire Mike Budenholzer for this, it'll be very interesting if they were to say, well, we didn't think this season was a failure, but we fired a head coach that won us a championship. He was outcoached by Spoelstra. He made substitution mistakes. The play in regulation with Jimmy Butler should have never occurred, ever occurred. That ball should have been swatted back down by somebody. Somebody should have realized exactly what they were doing. Any good scout would have known they ran the same play in a regular season win against Houston. My God, that's why you have 100 people on your staff breaking down film. Somebody should have went, wait, hold up. This is what they might do. They might go over the top to Jimmy Butler. They've done it before. But again, I understand Giannis's mindset and the answer, but I also know that the organization is going to think of it differently. And it wasn't the wrong question. I have to remind people of this. If you've not been in the world of journalism, yes, there are dumb questions. But most questions that get asked, even if the answer is obvious, it's not to get an answer to a question you don't know. It is to get the individual to say something about it for your column, article, whatever you're doing. Video clip, audio clip, whatever. It's to get the individual to respond to that. And that's what that question was.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
Georgia. Oh, yeah, Georgia. 1960. Georgia. Has nothing to do with Georgia. Minneapolis Lakers, Minnesota moving to Los Angeles, California. Became the Los Angeles Lakers. Pretty successful after that move. How many lakes are in Los Angeles? Are there a lot of lakes in Los Angeles? Not
two,
as many as
three?
A land of 1,000 lakes.
No. I mean, I'm trying to think. I want to say, like, in the Los Angeles surrounding area, not in downtown L.A., because that number is probably zero.
I'll say zero.
Although they will call a larger pond a lake.
What about the La Brea Tar Pits? Could that be a lake?
That's not a lake.
Could that be a lake, though? Could you boat on it?
You would sink.
You would sink.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's
or
not
you'd
a
just
lake.
Be stuck. I mean, I don't know what you.
What about the aqueducts? Can they be counted as a lake? Could they be?
I guess you can.
What about those things where like where Greece was racing their cars?
Is that well, that's the LA River.
Is that big enough to be a lake?
That's the LA River.
Oh. But could it be a lake?
No.
Could you just go? It's big enough.
No, I mean, you know, just north of LA, you got Pyramid Lake, Lake Castaic, Lake Piru.
I got you.
Towards the east, you got Lake Elsinore.
But not like Minnesota.
You know, way far east, you have the Salton Sea.
All right, Geography B.
Yeah, that's out in Palm Springs. The Salton Sea, which is pretty much a dry bed of nothingness.
All right. Well, the Los Angeles Lakers. They became the Los Angeles Lakers of the state in 1960.
It is funny that they decided never to change their name because there literally is no lake.
How much jazz is in Utah?
That's true.
Eh? I mean, would you say Salt Lake City is a jazz mecca?
There is probably more jazz in Utah than there are lakes in L.A.
It's possible. It's possible. Now, which do you think is more jazzy, New Orleans or Salt Lake City?
Mm.
See, there you go, right? Yeah. Same situation here.
You know, one of
which
the other
is more
ones.
Lakery, which is that a word?
I thought was fitting. One of the other Throwback Thursdays we kind of were flirting with was 1994.
The Vancouver Grizzlies.
Yeah.
And the Toronto Raptors.
You know, the Grizzlies became a thing today. And it just, you know, happens to be Grizzlies Lakers.
That's kind of wild. That's kind of true. That's well done. Well done making that connection that both of these franchises, in a way, are celebrating anniversaries.
Yep, selling
the Lakers weren't
in existence
prior to 1960, but the Los Angeles Lakers are birthed on this day.
Yep.
And the Memphis Vancouver Grizzlies birthed on this day in 1994. Yeah, the Raptors. Are they still a team. They did win the championship not that long ago. The Raptors. Did they just go, Jurassic Park's famous, and that's a good movie, and people now know what Raptors are?
Are Raptors prominent in Toronto?
Here's why I bring that up. When I was at elementary school, like a lot of elementary school kids, we learned about dinosaurs.
Yes.
Stegosaurus, Triceratops, T-Rex, Brachiosaurus, Brontosaurus, Ankylosaurus. I mean, Triceratops?
Mm-hmm.
I never heard about a raptor. Not until Jurassic Park. Jurassic Park was the first time that I realized, oh, my God, did they really exist?
In fact, that's
wild. I never heard of them.
If you're like me, Tony, we grew up knowing about Brontosaurus.
Right.
Which
exactly.
Apparently didn't even exist.
Right.
So no, because we now like, all Brontosaurus that we knew of are Brachiosaurus.
Brachiosaurus.
I don't know what the difference is.
And so the Raptors came into existence, and they were like, hey, that's cool. Like, that's neat. Look at that ferocious animal. Let's make that our logo. And they did. So they could have been anything. And they went, let's go with the popular dinosaur thing right now. We'll sell some merch. People will love it. Be the new logo. And now those two teams came into existence. Draft tonight. The Carolina Panthers with the number one pick. Who are they going to take? No one knows. But it looks like Bryce Young of Alabama is going to be the number one pick. After that, it's off to the races, everybody, with the Houston Texans with two picks in round one, 2 and 12. And what will they do with those two picks? Will they go quarterback number two, or will they go defensive player number two? And after that, what happens? Who goes to grab the three spot from Arizona? Arizona's got a key pick at number three because we know Indianapolis is going to take a quarterback. The question is going to be, who is going to be available when Arizona is getting the pick? The moment the Texans are done and Arizona's on the clock, what does the quarterback board look like? Because if the quarterback board is looking pretty slim at that point, meaning the two guys are off the board and it's down to Will Levis and Anthony Richardson or C.J. Stroud and Anthony Richardson or whatever, and the Colts really like one guy or the other, they're going to make a phone call to try to get out of four to go to three because somebody's going to move up to get the number three. Right, it's like it could be a couple of teams. One, it could be the Tennessee Titans. It could be Minnesota. Kirk Cousins is on his final deal. I've heard, but I don't think it's going to happen at five. I heard Seattle might be interested in another quarterback behind Geno Smith. Even though they just signed Geno Smith, they're always looking to the future. I doubt they would move out of five to jump up to get a quarterback in round one. I think you play for this year. You went to the playoffs. You've signed Geno Smith. You get him. You get the team around him better. You don't look for the future with that pick. So I'm going to discount that. But
no, I think you need to give him one more.
I think you are blessed enough to have this pick because of the trade of Russell Wilson. I think you make the team better. You make a playoff team better. You don't. I know people love to do this. It's just like to throw things out and see if it sticks. I don't think this one sticks. But I could see Tennessee doing it, and I could see Minnesota doing it. If you're in the final year of Kirk Cousins, you absolutely need something in the down the road in the future. So those are a couple of teams that could be moving up. I said this yesterday. I think the Raiders are a team. I'm really interested in seeing what the Raiders do if there's an availability to grab a franchise quarterback. They've got Jimmy Garoppolo. They signed him, to a two-year deal at 20-something million, $24 million a year? This is a plug-and-play signing. I think you are looking for your franchise guy, and whether you get him this year or next year, you're looking for that guy. Jimmy Garoppolo is a guy you're going to pay around $25 million to play quarterback until you do find him. And you could find him in this draft if indeed you find a willing participant in Arizona at three. But Indianapolis is the one team that's going to be looking behind them constantly to wonder who, especially if they really like a guy. Like, let's say they love Anthony Richardson, but they're not high on Will Levis. Let's say those are the two guys that are left. Who knows? This is if Houston takes a quarterback. This scenario is if Houston takes a quarterback. Then if you're the Colts, you have to find a way to swap picks with Arizona and add something to the package so you can get your guy or somebody else will get their guy. Or maybe Arizona gives you enough confidence in that Arizona will then say, well, hold on. We don't mind getting out of this pick because if we go down to four, we're going to still get the defensive guy we want. So I'm throwing out hypotheticals here, people, so bear with me. Like, follow along. I know some of you might be driving and you don't have a pen and paper handy, but follow along as I put all the yarns of string attaching to each other. So I got quarterback going one. I got quarterback going two. Arizona's picking at three. With the amount of people interested in the quarterbacks that will be remaining on the board, Arizona does not have to take their defensive guy at three. But they can't go further back. They can't go too far back because the guy that they may like, let's say it's Will Anderson, may not be around by the time. So you don't want to play around with the Raiders, who are picking, I think, seventh. You don't want to mess around with that. Will Anderson won't be available at that position. And it may be likely Tyree Wilson isn't going to be available at that position. But where would those defensive guys be available for you and you might get something else? At four. And who has the fourth pick? Indianapolis. And they want a quarterback. And they might be worried that somebody else is making a phone call to Arizona. Now, follow along. If you're Indianapolis, what's the strategy? Well, Indianapolis would love to get the quarterback that they want at four without giving up any extra stuff. Now, they're willing to give up extra stuff, but they would rather not. So they have to look back and say, okay, guys, we know Arizona would like to get a defensive player. Is that player going to be available at the Raiders? Well, the Raiders could move up, but is Arizona interested in that pick? Because if you go further down, those two guys may not be available. So for Arizona, they may have to be content with somebody else and getting picks rather than getting the guy they want. So I think Indianapolis is the best spot for Arizona to trade out of three to get down to just four, get their guy, get something else, if indeed two quarterbacks are off the board with the first two picks in the draft. Now, if Arizona goes defense, Houston goes defense, that makes the Arizona situation a little bit more interesting because their guy may be gone and they may feel like further back they can get another quality player plus extra draft value. So that's why the Texans own the key to everything. We know QB is going one. It depends on who, what goes on with the Texans.